Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Courtney Morris. She's an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Sonali.
Russia began dropping bombs on Syria today after President Vladimir Putin pushed through a resolution in his parliament. The U.S. was apparently notified ahead of time about the airstrikes that targeted the Syrian city of Homs. Russia is casting the move as an attack against ISIS, as well as in support of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. According to the New York Times, quote, Russia's intervention will most likely prolong and complicate the war, as it could keep Mr. Assad in office, and adds Russia to the already complicated patchwork of forces deployed there. Russian officials clarified that at this time, their nation was engaged only in an air war and no ground troops. U.S. President Barack Obama and Mr. Putin met earlier this week at the United Nations General Assembly gathering in New York and sniped at one another diplomatically. Well, Courtney, given the extraordinary human suffering inside Syria, isn't Russia's participation the last thing that they need? One more force that's tossing destructive weaponry at them?
I mean, I think that you're right. I mean, I think that Russia's airstrikes, which were, launched literally hours after Putin was authorized to conduct those strikes, what they really demonstrate is how Syria has become the staging ground for this kind of political conflict, this political face-off between the United States and Russia about who is going to be the primary political force in the Middle East. And, I think what it demonstrates is that the debate has never really been about what's good for Syria or for the Syrian people. Rather, it's about each side doing what they think looks good for them rather than doing the tough work of brokering a political solution to the chaos in Syria. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, The Guardian reported that in 2012, the U.S. and its European allies ignored an offer by Russia that would have allowed Bashar al-Assad to step down as part of a peace agreement, and the U.S. refused because the Obama administration believed that Assad was so weak he'd be toppled in a matter of weeks, and that was 3 years ago. So, I think it's that kind of political hubris that has really brought Syria to the brink of collapse, and now it appears that the West is going to have to play nice with al-Assad for a little bit longer because the alternative is really just unthinkable.
Here in the United States, Georgia executed a woman last night. 47-year-old Kelly Renee Gissendonner was the only woman on Georgia's death row and the first in 70 years to be executed by that state. Despite many appeals, the Supreme Court rejected 3 stays of execution yesterday. Her children tried vainly to stop the execution, and even Pope Francis had made a plea on Gissendonner's behalf. She reportedly sang Amazing Grace after receiving a lethal injection during the last few minutes of her life. Gissendonner was convicted of planning the murder of her husband by her lover, Greg Owen. Owen, who actually carried out the killing, testified against Gissendonner and is serving a life sentence. He will be eligible for parole in 2022. Well, Courtney, the U.S. likes to point out the human rights abuses of other nations. What sort of moral righteousness do we have when we do things like this?
Well, Sonali, I think you and most of our listeners know my feelings on this matter. I mean, the United States is really, it's one of only 5 developed nations in the world that still practices capital punishment. Most nations consider it to be an immoral and an antiquated practice that really does very little to deter crime or to deliver justice in any meaningful way. And I think in this particular case with Ms. Gissendonner, I mean, I just don't think anyone can say justice was served here. I mean, just the fact alone that she was executed for conspiring to kill her husband while her lover, who actually carried out the crime, is serving a life sentence and will very soon be eligible for parole, I can hardly imagine how that seems like justice. Her children have now lost both parents, and I don't think that anyone can argue that this is justice or a victory at all.
Finally, the new darling of the anti-abortion right wing, Kim Davis, says she met with Pope Francis secretly during his visit to the U.S. Davis is the notorious Kentucky County clerk who was jailed for refusing to issue marriage licenses to gay couples, saying it violated her religious faith. In an interview with ABC, Davis said of her meeting with the Pope, quote, "It was really very humbling to even think that he would want to, meet me or know me." She said the Pope told her, "Thank you for your courage and stay strong." Davis reacted that that was a great encouragement and that the Pope's words, quote, "kind of validates everything." The Vatican refused to deny or confirm the meeting. Despite becoming a sort of progressive hero in the U.S., the Pope stayed away from speaking about same-sex marriage while here. Well, Courtney, it seems that the Pope might have realized that his homophobic views on gay marriage might taint his celebrity, and he met with Davis secretly. What do you think?
I mean, I think that's very possible. I mean, it was clear, at least to me, that the Pope had a pretty specific agenda for his visit, and he was most, interested in weighing in on the issues that have really come to define him as a political figure. Things like dealing with the crisis of climate change, eliminating wealth inequality, addressing war and the displacement that it produces, and of course, dealing with these kind of larger human rights issues like the need to abolish the death penalty. But as progressive as people want to paint the Pope, as being, the fact of the matter is that when it comes to issues like women's reproductive rights and marriage equality, he reveals himself to be profoundly conservative. I mean, he is, after all, the Pope. And so, I think that he and his handlers realized that speaking more publicly on these kinds of issues really would kind of dampen the spectacle of Pope mania that they were trying to cultivate. And so he actively stayed away from these issues. But the fact that he met with Kim Davis, even if it was a secret meeting, reveals where the Pope's loyalties really lie on these issues. And I think we have to remember that that he might be a progressive voice, but he's running a fundamentally conservative organization, and we can't let the Pope mania distract us from that.
Courtney, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye, Sonali.
Courtney Morris is our Daily News Flash guest expert and an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.